It's exciting. I don't know about you, but I love a new year. Does anybody love the New Year's? A few of us. I just love it. And I know there's some New Year's haters. Like, we don't like New Year's resolutions. We don't like that. You should be living that way all year round. That's okay. Look, here's my philosophy of New Year's is that God has created our world with cyclical cycles, a day, 24 hours, a week, 7 days, months, years, right? And the year, every year, we get a chance to back up. Say, what did I do this year? Well, be thankful for what God did, right? And so this concept, and I know New Year's resolutions, people don't keep them. Well, I think the last statistic I heard was like 92% of people keep their New Year's resolutions. So there you go. Or don't. 92% don't keep. 92% don't keep. Is that better? Okay. I just wanted to affirm what you already knew. Okay. But what I want to talk about this morning is not a New Year's resolution, but what I'm going to call, and not just me, but have people historically have called, a new rule of life. Anybody heard that term before, rule of life? Most of us haven't. Okay, well, that'd be good. I'm going to be in Romans chapter 12 and in John chapter 15. I'm going to read these two scriptures with us, and then we're going to jump in. It says, pretty common, pretty well-known scripture, Romans chapter 12, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may be more fruitful. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning walk with you and be more fruitful in this new year. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been to Disney World a couple times. Don't judge me, but I've been. And one time, we didn't really plan on it. We were down in Florida. It was about this time of year, and we were down there for a conference. I'm like, it's like an hour away. Let's just go, you know. Kind of spur of the moment. Do we have any spontaneous people in here? You know, just let's just go. So we go, and you know, it was fun, but I realized once I was there that we pretty much couldn't do most of it, of one park in a day, because we didn't plan on it. You just show up, there's like fast passes, you got to order 6 months in advance. I mean, everything's like, Disney rewards those who plan, okay? It's just true. And so I'm just going, I'm like, this is fine. My kids pretty don't care that much. I mean, they're having a blast. But I just realized, like, man, we could have done so much more. So then the next time we went, man, I got my fast passes in advance. I got these, like, bands on your arms. You look like Secret Service or whatever. You're just like, let me in, you know. We planned. We got to do a lot more. The experience was better. And what I noticed is that planning helps. Now, we do life, and if I read these verses to you, I think most of us in here on a Sunday morning, we'd say, yeah, man, I want to change. Like, I want to be transformed into more like God, right? I don't want to be conformed to the world. I want to be transformed into his image. I think if we were going to go around and if we got into the deep desires of our hearts, we'd say, man, I want to be fruitful. I want to be abiding in the vine. I want my life to count. I want it to be influenced. I mean, I can think of the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace. I mean, I want more of that. Like, I got a little bit, but I don't have enough. Love. I mean, parents, right? We need more love. We need more patience. We need more peace, joy, self-control. I mean, how many times do I have to apologize for my lack of self-control? Just me? Okay, that's cool. So there's this desire, there's these deep desires that we'd say, yes, I want to grow. Yes, I want to be fruitful. Yes, I want to change. But when we get down into it, we don't see a lot of it. Honestly, we're not where we'd like to be. We're not as changed as we'd hope we'd be. We're not as fruitful as we'd like. And I think that's because we're not as planned. We haven't planned. We haven't thought it through. And what I hope to do this morning is give us, that's why this large contraption's on stage, a visual of something that we can do in our lives, maybe we're already doing, that's going to help us become more fruitful. And so this rule of life, and here's my main point. My main point is this: to build and change a life that grows deeper in its connection with God, grows more fruitful, and grows more resilient, you need an intentional rule of life, a trellis or a scaffolding, that's what this is, that centers around abiding in Christ and includes healthy practices. I'm going to read that again. It's a lot there, but we'll break it down, okay? To build and change a life that grows deeper in its connection with God. I think we would say, if we're here and we're Christians, we want to grow in our relationship with God. We want to be more fruitful, growing in love, joy, peace, self-control, etc. And grows more resilient, right? That we have endurance, that we don't give up, that we don't get knocked down and don't get back up, that we have more endurance and resiliency. This is what you need, an intentional rule of life that centers around abiding in Christ and includes healthy practices. Okay? All right. So, here's my first point. What is a rule of life? This is what a rule of life is. I'm going to read a couple quotes to you, but before I do that, this came out of about the 3rd through 5th century, the Desert Fathers, men who would kind of escape the corruption that was in the church and in the world and wanted to be closer to God. And so they had a rhythm and a lifestyle that helped them connect with God. Saint Benedict made it probably more popular, and it's still to this day goes on in his monasteries and his order. But he designed a flow of day that helped people center on God. And that might include something like bells ringing every so hours, that everyone, the bell's ringing, to stop what we're doing and pray. These are just things that help them focus their hearts and minds on God. The word... And I'll just read this quote. I don't know if you've heard of Pete Scacero, if I said that correctly, but he, if you're familiar with his work, he wrote The Emotional Healthy Church, Emotional Healthy Spirituality. This is what he says. Again, please don't be intimidated by the word rule. The word comes from the ancient Greek word for trellis. A trellis is a tool that enables a grapevine to get off the ground, to grow upward, become more fruitful and productive. It also keeps it away from predators and things like that, right? The trellis would keep it off the ground. In the same way, a rule of life is a trellis that helps us abide in Christ and become more fruitful spiritually. It's been said that a rule of life is an external framework for an internal journey, a kind of scaffolding to use to build the spiritual structure of your individual life with God. It is an intentional, conscious plan to keep God at the center of everything that we do. It includes our unique combination of spiritual practices that provide structure and direction for us to intentionally pay attention and remember God in everything we do. The goal to be with God, to love Him in everything that we do. And that's what he said about the rule of life. This is Esther Wall, a longtime student of monastic spirituality, from the Latin word regula, which is where we get rule from. A feminine noun carries gentle connotations. Typically, we hear rule or law, and we get kind of like, oh gosh, didn't Jesus fulfill the law? Didn't he do away with the rules? No, these are rules that will help us. It carries a gentle connotation, a signpost, a railing, something that gives me support as I move forward in my search for God. In my favorite definition, some of you who have listened to our Cultural Moments, a podcast, John Mark Comer, this is what he says about a rule of life. A rule of life is a schedule and set of practices and relational rhythms that help us create space in our busy world for us to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what he did. To live to the full, John 10:10, in his kingdom, and I love this part, and in alignment with our deepest passions and priorities. So this is what we're saying. We would say that if we quiet the noise, we take away maybe the surface. I know we have ungodly passions. I know we have ungodly things that come out of our hearts. But if we dig, there's a deep passion put there by the Holy Spirit to be with God and to be fruitful and to walk with God, right? And if that's the case, then we need to do something to help that flourish. Because we live, and I'll put it this way, the current isn't still in the culture. You don't live your life in a culture that encourages you and supports you to be more spiritually minded, to more commune with God, to walk with God intimately. We live in a culture that has a pretty strong and increasingly strong current to push you away from healthy spirituality, healthy walk with God, and leads to distraction, consumerism, everything that would distract us from who God is, right? I mean, Isaac and I were talking last night in his room before we went to bed. I'm like, how many times did we think about God today? It was embarrassing to me, for me. How many times? I was doing work. I was on an iPad. I was working on this sermon. I was doing lots of things that were good and spiritual. But how many times did I really connect with God during the day? Not many. That was something I want, and it's not happening. And so what we can do is create a framework, a rhythm, some practices to help us realign our hearts to, man, we said we wanted this, but we're not doing it. So what can we do now to help that grow? So just think of a vine, and a branch connects to the vine and it grows fruit. But if there's a structure, if there's a trellis, if there's a scaffolding, see, this scaffolding isn't the building. The point of this is not to have a beautiful scaffolding. Right. The point of this, there's this building they're building right down here on 14th Street, right? And they're scaffolding around these concrete towers, and every couple days they move it up because they're doing more building. And the scaffolding move. The goal is not to say, wow, did y'all see that scaffolding out there? It's beautiful. The goal of the scaffolding is to build the life that we said we want and that God in us is saying we want and that we need. And so we need to build something around that so that he, by the Holy Spirit, can build our lives, what we say in our deepest desire we want to live. Okay? Does that make sense? So what we're going to do, and what I'm challenging us as a church to do, is can we build a scaffolding? Can you build a scaffolding that would help you grow in your walk with God? That's what a rule of life does. Now, before we get intimidated by this, I know some of you are like, dear God, Blake, I am already stressed out and overwhelmed. And now you're telling me I got to build a scaffolding? And that brings me to point number two. You already have a rule of life. I'm not asking you to do something you aren't doing. I'm asking you to reevaluate your scaffolding, reevaluate your trellis, reevaluate your rule of life. Is it producing what you say you want? The great—I don't know exactly his title, but he is quoted a lot and at the foundation of what is known as systems theory. And this is what he says. W. Edwards Deming, every system is perfectly designed to get the result it gets. Every system is perfectly designed to get the result it gets. So if you're, let's say you're building engines, and every 10th engine is faulty. So 9 engines you build correctly, and then the 10th one, is something's wrong with it. That system you've created is perfectly designed to give you 90% efficiency. If you want 99% efficiency, you got to change the system. Because the system, it gets what it gets. So what does that mean for us in our lives? Every person's current rule of life is perfectly designed to get the result it gets. If you're saying, man, I'm stressed out, I'm anxious, no self-control, there's a rule of life you're living by that helps prop up that way of life. You're getting the result of your system in a way. I know this is probably an overstatement, but just let that sit. Sean Covey says this, our habits will make us or break us. We become what we repeatedly do. That's why it's not a New Year's resolution. I'm just set a goal. It's what system have you put in place? That's what you're going to, that's the habits that you put in your life. That's what you're going to, will make or break us. And then James Clear said this, you don't rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. So think about that in your life. I'm going to do this. Okay, but what have you put in place so that you can do that? I'm going to tell you right now, there's no one more convicted in this room than me. This is probably a good picture of my trellis. It's not even put together right. It's missing pieces. It's just a mess. Okay, so I'm not up here saying, I've got everything together, guys. I'm just saying, let's do this together. This is the new year. We need to reevaluate our rule of life, the system of our life. And just I'm going to throw this in here. I'll probably bring it up later. But the average adult spends 6 hours a day in digital media. PC Magazine said that. So you can say, I don't have any time. Maybe we have more time than we think we have. Maybe. And then I'm going to speak to fathers and mothers in the room, but think about the system of your home. What is it communicating to our kids? I'm convicted, right? But the system of our home, what do our kids see life's all about? Leave that right there. Number 3. A healthy rule of life needs a gospel mentality. Okay, this is Romans 12 said, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Right, transformation comes with the renewing of the mind. So I don't want to dig too big into this, but that isn't just because of a renewal of information, but a changing of habits. Our minds aren't just changed by information overload, right? If we were going to change because we had more information, we'd been changed. But the habits, the lifestyles, has something about the transformation of our mind as well. But what is that whole verse end on? In view of God's mercy. That Christ did what we could not do for ourselves. That Jesus died the death we deserved to die. And he rose again, giving us new life. What we do then is a response to that. I don't have a strong, healthy rule of life to get to God, to earn God's love. When I don't get this rule of life, all of a sudden God's like, man, I've been waiting you to do that. Here's my love. A healthy rule of life aligns us to receive the love of God. God's pouring it out. It's like having a catch basin. The water's coming. And we might just get a drip every once in a while, but if we create some systems so that we can get under the fountainhead of his love to get before God. We have to have a gospel mentality. We don't earn his love. These structures or practices or rhythms don't make a son or daughter of God. I don't put this in place and now, man, I'm God's son. We are God's son or God's daughter because Christ adopted us by his choosing. And our faith and his adoption of us by the grace and mercy of God. Because of that, I want to know the Father who would die for me. And walk with him throughout the day, throughout the week. So these structures and rhythms don't make me more loved by God nor his son. They help me see his love and remember who I am in Christ. So what I don't want us to do is like, man, we work this thing like it's some kind of, you know, tally system where God loves us. That's not what we're saying here. I love this scripture in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, this is the NASB, New American Standard, it says, but we all with unveiled face behold as a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Here's the ESV version. It says something a little bit different, but for a different emphasis here. We all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. What does this mean? As you gaze on God, his beauty, the glory of the gospel and what he's done for us and who he is, we are transformed, and that's a process. That didn't happen. You are saved in a moment, but you walk with God in relationship, and so these rhythms, these practices help us walk with God relationally and deepen that relationship. The fruit is born, and it's bountiful. Next thing we see here, number four, is a healthy rule of life is holistic in nature. A healthy rule of life is holistic in nature. I'm not just talking about spiritual things here. In fact, this is pretty astounding, but in the Hebrew language, which God chose to write three-fourths of the Bible, in Hebrew, there's no word for spiritual. There's no word for spiritual. If you went up to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, man, how's your spiritual life going? He'd be like, what do you mean? You mean, how's my life going? There's no dichotomy between my spiritual life and my regular life. It's all spiritual in a framework. In a Hebrew framework, it's all spiritual. Your work is spiritual. Your rest is spiritual. Your eating and drinking, spiritual. Everything you do in word or deed, whether you're eating or drinking, do it for the glory of God. That's spiritual. And so we, in a Greek mindset, have separated that. We've got spiritual things we do. And then we got secular things. Did you know most of us in this room would then spend 90% of our lives doing things that don't matter? How ridiculous that is. And I'm working these 90% of my life in work so that I can have 10% of spiritual life. What a waste. All of life is spiritual. Your work is worship to God. Whether it's medicine or construction or teaching, or research. It is worship to God, if you're doing it as worship to God. So now, man, my whole life is spiritual. Therefore, this rule of life that we're talking about is holistic. It might include something like this. Let me say this one more thing. Your habits form or deform your mind. Your habits will form or deform your mind. So, your holistic rule of life should include something like this. Getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. Maybe. Maybe that's a rule of life. That's the rule. Now, do I hit that every day? No. But it's the rule. It's not a law. No one comes and arrests me. Sleep usually arrests me about 2 or 3 in the afternoon if I don't, right? But no one comes and, but there's a rule of life. Why? Because if I get that amount of sleep, the rest of the day that I'm waking is more productive. I'm more patient, right? So it's all interconnected here. So if I get a certain amount of sleep a night, some of the, I'll just give you, this is not to say, hey, I want you to adopt, because my next point is that your rule of life is custom designed to you. I'm just giving you some examples of some rules of life in our home. We eat dinner as a family 4 nights a week. Your job might not allow for that. That's okay. I'm just telling you what mine are. At least 4 nights a week, we're sitting at a table, and this is a new little addendum, like device-free, together to eat a meal. That's a rule. That's a rule of life we're going to do, a rhythm that we're going to practice. We have a family night once a week. Does that happen all the time? Not all the time. But that's our goal. That's what we're shooting for. That's our rhythm. Where we're going to be together as a family, and we're going to do something together as a family. That's a rule of life. Every morning, I get up, 6 a.m., I read my Bible and pray for about an hour without my phone. It's a rhythm, right? Once a week, I have a Sabbath. Sit aside time to, and this is another tweak for me, and we'll talk about this, but rules of life need to be revisited and looked at. That's going to be increasingly more about connecting with Jesus than it is about just not doing work or ministry. So that rhythm is there, but it hasn't been what it's designed to be. I work out 3 to 4 times a week. Corporate prayer once a week. Fasting once a year. That's why this fasting comes up. It's just a time. It's a rhythm. It's a rule of life that we're going to step back every year and seek God for the year, for me individually, for my family, as a church. It's just a rhythm. It's just a rule of life. Just as an example. So brings me to point number 5. A healthy rule of life needs to be custom designed. It's got to be your rule. It can't be my rule. It's got to be your rule. And I wouldn't want it to be mine. But you've got to take some. You might say, this is completely new concept for me. Fine. Then don't start with this huge thing. Just implement. If this is way off the radar for you, are blown away and overwhelmed by this, here, 15 more minutes every day when you wake up, spend time with God. Read a psalm, pray. That's going to be a new rhythm. Just, it's a small step. You can't run a marathon if you haven't even run a mile, right? And people who try usually hurt themselves. Or give up, right? So the goal isn't for your life to look like mine at all. You, this week, as you fast and pray, what should the rhythms of my life look like? And if sometimes some of us have schedules and jobs that change every week. So that might be a rhythm in your life, maybe once a week, to look at the next week to create a new rhythm. Because it's going to change. It's got to be flexible. It's got to be custom designed to you to connect with God and reconnect with the people of God. It's another rhythm to come together and worship. Public corporate worship is essential. Essential to walk with God in fruitful living. It's a rhythm. It's my last point. Healthy rule of life includes adding and subtracting. We've got to create margin in a healthy rule of life. We cannot pack our schedules to the core and think we're not going to be overwhelmed and distracted and distracted from God. Again, there's balance here. Seasons of life, I get that. You got young kids, your rule of life is every time the kids cry, you remind yourself, oh yeah, I should pray. But that's my monastic bell. I think someone said that actually. The mothers raising kids, the cry of the child is the monastic bell. Dear God, help us. You are God and I am not. You know, give me self-control. Help me love these child. So what I'm just saying that there are rhythms that need add and subtract. Two professors at the University of Texas scientifically proved this. The constant presence of a mobile phone is a brain drain effect that significantly reduces intelligence and attention spans, a study has found. Researchers at the University of Texas discovered that people are worse at conducting tasks and remembering information if they have a smartphone in earshot or eye shot. They can, if it's in the room and they can see it, you're dumber. That's what they said. Your IQ drops if you can see your phone. Much less, I mean, that's even if it's on do not disturb. It's just there. You don't even touch it. Your IQ drops. So we got to begin to realize that the current of the culture is flowing pretty hard. I love my phone. It's down there somewhere. I feel a little, did you feel I'm just terrified? Where'd it go? I can't, it's not here. So I get it. I love maps. I love everything. I love everything about my phone. Well, most things. But I also know that I don't work for my phone. But I think we do. I think somebody was saying, I was listening to John Mark Comer this week, and he was saying that you don't have to pay to get on Facebook. You notice? You don't get it because you're not the client. You're the product. Your attention is, and Facebook products, Instagram, all that. Your attention is what is being harvested. And I think it was Sean Parker, who's the first president of Facebook. He's a conscientious objector from all social media. He's the first president of Facebook, and he's not on social media. And his comment is, God only knows what this is doing to our kids. And CEOs from a lot of these tech companies pay good money to send their kids to schools that are device-free. Wonder why that is. So, again, this isn't about evil, but what it is about is realizing what's going on. Let's take a step back. Maybe this time of fasting could be a time of separation to say, okay, what am I really doing with my life and my rhythms? It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is renewed, not just by what you hear, but by what you see, by what you see continually, by what you do continually. Every branch he prunes, there's cutting, there's taking away. Lord, what do you want to prune in my life this year? Out of my schedule. There's certain habits that and practices that are going to be easy for you because you're the way you're wired. Like, you might be an introvert, and silence and solitude is like, yes. It's like, yes, everyone else go to the party. I will stay home. That can be a discipline or a habit or a practice, and that's good. You should do that. But there's certain, and in fact, I think that our lives should probably mirror a lot more of those practices that we're good at. Like, you're going to tell me to go work out? I'm gonna be like, yes. Like, if I don't work out, I'm not a happy person. So it's like, that's a rhythm that's easy for me. That might be torture for you, right? Unless I'm being chased by a wild animal, I'm not running. If I'm not running, I'm not happy. So that's, I'm not telling you now need to be a runner, but what I'm saying is what rhythms, what things are going to be easy for you? Go ahead and put some of those in there. Get some wins. Get some excitement. Yeah, baby. Like, I'm thinking about my rhythms of, like, working out, and it just gets me excited. I'm going to run today. I am. Okay? But now, silence and solitude torture me, right? Make me be by myself in a room with nothing going on. I can't. That just sounds horrible. But I need some of that, right? It's not healthy if I don't get that. So we need a little bit of both of those in our lives. Okay, application. What do I want you to do this week? I just want you to pray and fast with us, whatever that looks like. Start a new rhythm. What does that mean? If you've never fasted before, don't fast 5 days with us. Okay, pick a meal or a day. Or maybe as the sun rises and sets, you'll fast while the sun's up. Or take a whole week and cut out social media. Oh my God. Will the world go on without us? But really just pull away from that. Take out screens just to kind of reboot the system. It doesn't really do that much. Probably a good 30 days would reboot the system, but at least you'll get a taste of what it could look like when you're not addicted to a device. But fast with us this week. Pick one thing and do it, and then help that, and then meditate. Just take a step back and say, what's my rule of life? What are my rhythms? Does anything need to be tweaked? We're going to get more into this in the next couple of weeks to help us practically do that. But just as a starter, just fast with us. Start that rhythm. Come out here Wednesday night, pray, worship, if you can. If you can't, gather some friends, do it a different night. Do it over the phone. Do it something, but pray and fast together. And see if that doesn't start us this year re-examining our life, our rhythms, and say, hey, how can, Lord, the deep desire of my heart is to walk with you and to be at peace and to be a blessing to those around me, to be fruitful. All those things, Lord, and I am none of those things. So, Lord, what do you want me to do to start implementing rhythms to help me grow and move forward? Can we do that? Let's all stand and pray as our band comes up. Father, thank you for the rhythms of life that you have put in creation. The day, the week, the month, the year, where we can reboot, reset, reevaluate. Lord, what would you have us take out of our lives this year? What would you have us add into? Lord, we're grateful for that. And Lord, I pray that you would help everyone in this room implement a rule of life this year that adds to their peace and joy and love, that adds to their relationship with Jesus, Lord. Jesus, help us. We need it by the Holy Spirit. We want to know you more and be more fruitful and productive, Father. Help us this morning. We're asking 2020 to live our most fruitful, joy-filled, resilient life this year, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.